In the fourth aliyah of Parshas Miketz, we find that famine has taken over, except in Mitzrayim where there is food. And the pasuk tells us in the beginning of Parak Membeis that Yaakov is aware that there is food in Mitzrayim. This is conveyed to us with the language of Vayar Yaakov. He saw this, and as Rashi quotes from the Medrash, he still has some kind of Ruach HaKodesh, even though his Nevuah has been compromised ever since Yosef was taken away from him. And he says to his sons that they should go down to Mitzrayim, starting with the language of Lama Tisro. So what exactly does that phrase mean? Some understand that they were looking at each other. There's Yoznaim LaTorah comments that they were looking at each other with expressions as if to say, we don't want to go down to Egypt. That's not going to work out well for us. Soloveitchik understood that they felt guilty, recognizing what was perhaps to come or what was the cause of the situation. Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch understood that they were each looking at each other, expecting that the other would have to go on this mission, and Yaakov told them that they all have to go. The Gemara in Maseches Tainis and Daf Yud Amid Beis understands the language of Tisro to mean showing off, and that it was a reference to the fact that they still had some food left of their own, and that they should be careful not to show this off to others so as not to instill jealousy in others. And the Gemara makes reference specifically, Lo Bifnei Esav, Lo Bifnei Yishmael, perhaps because of the history that they had with these people and the particular risk that there could be jealousy aroused. And this is idea in general that we find of the Kliyakar in his commentary to Dvarim, Perek Beis, Pasuk Hei, Pnu Lachem Tzafona, makes the comment that we should turn inward rather than show off outward, that there is a great risk in showing off wealth and in creating a sense of jealousy in others that never works out well for us. So in any event, he sends the brothers on a mission to go down, and the pasuk tells us that Vayerdu Achi Yosef Asara Lishbor Barbi Mitzrayim. So the 10 brothers go down, leaving Binyamin at home, as the next pasuk tells us. Rav Yonasan Eibshitz has an interesting comment here. This wouldn't seem to be in keeping with the halacha that requires respect for an older brother, that here Binyamin is the youngest of the brothers, and the idea that he gets to stay home while 10 older brothers have to go on this mission doesn't seem to reflect this halacha of respect. And he has two suggestions, Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, in his commentary. One is that even if the halacha of respect for an older brother would require that Binyamin go instead of the older brothers, but this was not the will of Yaakov, and the kavod that goes to a father trumps that of an older brother, and apparently even that of 10 older brothers. He also has a very interesting suggestion that perhaps the kavod for an older brother only goes to an older brother that's from the same mother. And here Binyamin didn't have any other brothers from the same mother. The only brother that he had from the same mother was Yosef, who was no longer with them, and therefore he didn't actually have a brother to whom he owed respect. And he suggests that that's what the meaning is of the pasuk in Parshas Vayigash, when the reference is made to Binyamin, Vayivaser hu levado li'imo, that he is all that is left to his mother. He's not obligated in respect to any other sibling because he doesn't have any siblings left from his mother. It's a very interesting suggestion because in general, there is a machlokes as to the nature of the kavod for an older brother or an older sibling in general. It's a part of the machlokes. The Rambam understands that it's a function of the concept of Bechor, which would go only to the oldest brother, while the Rambam understands that it's an extension of the idea of Kibud Av V'Em and is based on the presumption that the parents would want that there should be a hierarchy among the siblings. So either way, it wouldn't necessarily follow that this should be limited to a sibling from the mother. According to the Rambam, it should be the brother from the same father, and according to the Ramban, it should be from either parent, but the idea that it should be a sibling only from the same mother doesn't seem to work with either the Rambam or the Ramban, so that's an interesting suggestion, and the truth is, there is a explanation that can be found in other writings of Rav Yonah Leibschitz and his Sefer Yaros Devash. He has a unique explanation of this din, which could be why he takes this position. So in any event, we find that they go down to Mitzrayim, and there Yosef is in control, and the Pasuk tells us, V'Yosef hu ha-shalit al ha-aretz hu ha-mashbir l'chol am ha-aretz. So he is the one in control, and he is the one providing the food. And the Medrash Rabbah tells us that he is referred to as the shalit, as the controller, because he didn't give in to Eshes Potiphar. And as commentaries note, that this reflects the idea that true rulership is reflected in self-control, and therefore the fact that he has this position is itself represented by his internal self-control. Rav Shamshon Yofel Hirsch has a comment here that he's both the shalit and the mashbir. He took care of all of it himself, and he also made other masters come in person to him themselves in order to know how much they really needed, and that's how events were able to unfold the way that they did. He also has a comment on this next pasuk there, pasuk Zion, where it says, "Vayar Yosef es echav v'yakireim v'yisnaker aleihem." So here the pasuk says that he saw his brothers and he recognized them, and he made himself foreign to them. He made himself unrecognizable to them. And as Rashi says, Nasa lahem kinochri, and he comments with his sensitivity to language, Rav Hirsch, that it's interesting that here you have the same root for two opposite words. For v'yakireim and v'yisnaker, he recognized them and he made himself unrecognizable to them. And it seems like here you have the same root meaning two opposite things. And as he explains, it's not as unusual as it may seem that when you recognize something, you make it distinct. So Yosef recognizes his brothers while they don't recognize him. And Pasuk Tes tells us, Vayizkor Yosef eis hachalomos asher chalam lahem vayomer aleihem miraglim atem liros eservas haaretz basem. So the Pasuk is striking here in that it puts together in the same Pasuk his accusation of them as being spies, which he knows not to be the case, but it first tells us that he remembers the dreams that he had. So what's the relationship between the two things? This decision to accuse them of being spies and everything that's going to happen after this, and the fact that he remembers his dreams. So here there is quite a lot to discuss. And in general, all of Yosef's treatment of his brothers in this Aliyah and the Aliyah that follows is the subject of much analysis. And some of it focuses on the question of the relationship between Yosef and his brothers and the history and the future, and how he's looking perhaps to have a genuine reconciliation with them or to test whether they had genuinely changed. But here we find a different aspect that's not necessarily only about the nature of their relationship, and it has to do specifically with his dreams. Rav Soloveitchik commented that the idea of Vayizkor is perhaps similar to what we find in the mitzvah of Zichiras HaShabbos, that it has to do with anticipation. There is a machlokes Rashi and the Ramban relating to this concept, that Rashi says that his remembering of the dreams is because he was seeing them being fulfilled in the fact that the brothers were coming here and being subservient to him. But the Ramban disagrees, and he argues that the dreams were not being fulfilled yet because not all of the brothers were there, and his father was not yet there. So therefore, the dreams were not yet in fulfillment. And actually what Yosef was doing with his plans was ensuring that the dreams would indeed come to fruition. So this is a very striking idea. The Ramban goes on to address a very crucial question about everything that goes on here, and the very glaring issue of why is it that Yosef allows his father to continue to suffer, especially from this point on, and especially with everything that will go on with Shimon and Binyamin. Why is it that he allows his father to suffer longer with such great agony when he could send a message to him and tell him everything that has happened? And the Ramban explains it's because of his need to make sure that the dreams actually do come true. And this is also consistent with an idea that you find in other Rishonim, such as the Rush and the Moshe of Zakenim, who addressed a different question at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, the fact that Yosef tells his brothers about his dreams, which seems like such a bad idea, it only gets them upset and makes them jealous. And they suggest that he understood that his dreams were actually prophecies, they're actually nevuos that were relevant to them, and therefore he was obligated to tell them. So here too, it seems that that's the case. He understood his dreams to be prophecies that had to come true. So even so, it's still a very hard idea to understand, and many commentaries raise the question, and it's been discussed throughout the generations, that even if he felt that this was something that had to come true, why was it his responsibility to make it come true? Is there actually a mitzvah for one to bring about a prophecy? And especially in light of the obligation of Kibbutz Av Va'Em, why should he allow his father to suffer just because there's a prophecy that he somehow feels it's his responsibility to bring about? And the Vilna Gaon had similarly commented that he apparently felt that he didn't want to contradict the Ratzon Hashem and do anything that would possibly get in the way. And that seems to also be consistent with this Ramban. But still, the glaring issue of Kibbutz Av Va'Em is the topic of much discussion. There's a long discussion about this in the Sefer Chamudei Yitzchak, where he suggests that maybe there's a difference before Matan Torah, and that's consistent with the idea that we have. We've discussed this in previous aliyahs, that the notion of the Avos keeping the Torah was a concept that they took on voluntarily, but didn't necessarily reflect an actual obligation. But it was the Avos fulfilling the Ratzon HaTorah. So therefore, if this also represented the Ratzon HaTorah, so it could be that Yosef maybe felt that this was a more compelling Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the more general Ratzon HaTorah that would have come from a broader obligation of Kibbutz Av Va'Em. It also seems that this is a part of a Ratzon that Yosef perceived as a part of a vision for history. And this is a broader Ratzon Hashem that he felt it was his responsibility to help bring about. Similarly, the Alshich and the Haksav HaKabbalah and others explain the point that we discussed in the previous Aliyah, why he named his son Menashe to reflect the fact that he forgot about his father's household. They suggest that it was relevant also to this idea that had he remembered his father's household, he would have gone back to his father in a way that would have impeded the nevuahs from coming true, and that was so crucial that he allowed these nevuahs to unfold. This was a part of the vision that he considered so vitally important, and that he felt was a part of the future that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind, that he was playing this necessary part in.